Stand with me, please, for our call to worship and remain standing during our processional carol. Following along in your bulletin the responsive call to worship. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King? How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Christ? How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. During the Advent season, we prepare for the one who has come, whom we expect to come, and who will come again. In this season, we recall God's entering history as one of us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We prepare our hearts so that God will find room and expression in our lives. As we proceed through the Advent season, we pray for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, And during Advent, we look toward Christmas, the fulfillment of God's love for all people. Through many generations, we have had reminders of Jesus' birth in the beautiful symbols of music, customs, and tradition, so that we will not forget what our God has done. In the hanging of the greens, we share the Christians through the ages, the memory and anticipation of Christ's coming. Amen. Continue to follow along in our bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father, we long for the simple beauty of Christmas, for all the old familiar melodies, words, and symbols that remind us of that great miracle when He who made all things came one night as a babe to lie in the crook of a woman's arms. But in that longing, let us even more yearn for your renewed presence among us, even as we expect and celebrate the coming of your Son. Before such mystery we kneel, as we follow the shepherds and wise men to bring you the gift of our love. A love, we confess, has not always been as warm or sincere or real as it should have been. Now, as we enter into this Advent season, we pray that love will find its beloved and from you receive the grace to make it pure again, warm and real. We bring you our gratitude for every token of your love, for all the ways you have heaped blessings upon us during the years that have gone by. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, that as we begin this four-week journey of expectation and hope, we may do in it a manner well-pleasing to you. May all we do and say, every tribute of our hearts, bring honor to your name, that we, your people, may remember your birth and feel your presence among us even yet. May the loving kindness of this Advent season and the true spirit of Christmas not only creep into our hearts this season, but there abide, so that not even the return of earthly cares and responsibilities, not all the festivals of our own devising, may cause it to creep away weeping. May the joy and spirit of Christmas remain with us now and forever. In the name of Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins, even in that lovely name we pray. Amen.
Pyramids have long been a tradition in the Christian community. They provide a colorful representation of the many Christian symbols. They help us worship by linking visible symbolism to the seasonal themes. We not only hear the themes, but can see them symbolized before us. For many months during the Pentecost season, or ordinary time, the color used by the church in the pyramids has been green. Green symbolizes growth in the Christian life for each individual and each place where the church has witness. As we begin the Advent season, we change the pyramids to purple, the color of royalty and of God's reign, in preparation for the coming of the Christ.
Light candles at Christmas to symbolize the coming of Christ, to give light to a world lost in darkness. In prophesying of the light Christ would bring to the world, Isaiah proclaimed, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Of Jesus, John wrote, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Jesus spoke to the people and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The soft glow, the reflection of light, and the gentle warmth of candles reminds us of the radiance, the guidance, and the compassion of Jesus.
The Advent wreath is a simple circle of evergreen branches. They testify to the continuation of life. Bending the branches so that the ends touch to form a circle further symbolizes life without end. Four candles encircle a central Christ candle. The candles signify God's Son as the light of the world. There are four candles for the 4 weeks in Advent. Each Sunday in Advent, we light the candles from the preceding weeks along with a new one. The Christ candle is not lit until Christmas Eve. The Advent wreath, with the increasing brightness from the candles, witnesses to the light that cannot be put out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
evergreens have long been considered symbols of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature, and an indication that the faithful will experience eternal life in communion with God in Jesus Christ. The Advent custom of decorating with evergreen branches comes to us from the peasants in the Middle Ages who believe that preparation should be made for the coming of Jesus. On the first Sunday of Advent, each family would gather evergreens and place them near the hearth in their home. We continue that tradition today as we hang the greens in our sanctuary, our church home. As Isaiah 60:13 tells us, "The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary." The poinsettia symbol is twofold. The star-shaped formation of the red leaves reminds us of the star that shone on that first Christmas. The red flower reminds us of the blood of Jesus upon the cross, the Jesus who is our Savior.
Oh.
The meanings behind many of the symbols we use in our Christmas decorations come from legends rather than pure facts. One Christian legend says that the holly was not originally an evergreen plant, but that one cold winter night, the holly miraculously grew leaves. Why? To hide the Holy Family from Herod's soldiers. Another legend about this Christmas plant says that a little orphan boy was living with the shepherds when the angels came to announce the birth of the newborn king. Having no gift for the baby, the child wove a crown of holly branches for its head. But when he lay it before Christ, he became ashamed of its poverty and began to cry. Miraculously, Jesus touched the crown, and the leaves began to sparkle and shine. The orphan's tears, where they had fallen under the gift, turned into beautiful scarlet berries.
Christmas tree is a wonderful sign of God's love and faithfulness. Never losing its green color, the Christmas tree reminds us of God's steadfast love, which endures forever. Legend has it that Martin Luther was the first person to decorate his home with a Christmas tree. Luther was walking home one Christmas Eve when he saw the glitter of the stars shining through the snow-covered branches of the fir trees. Luther was so awed by the sight that he took one of the trees home with him and placed candles on the branches to demonstrate to his family what a glorious sight he had seen. From this first Christmas tree in the Luther household, the custom spread. Now Christmas trees are used in homes, in churches, and in communities wherever the birth of Christ is celebrated and the love of Christ is shared. The use of chrismons on the tree began in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia. Chrismons, or Christ monograms, are handmade designs forming the familiar symbols of the Christian faith. These symbols speak to Christians of the deep meaning of the gospel. The fish is the most ancient symbol for our Lord and was used as an easily recognized secret sign by early Christians. The first letters of the Greek words for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, form the Greek word for fish. The anchor cross was called the cross of hope by first century Christians. It reminds us that Jesus is the hope of the world. The star, angels, lambs, and other Christian symbols are used for chrismons. Each of them helps us to recall the Christmas story.
For most people, whether we care to admit it or not, the celebration of Christmas and the exchanging of gifts go hand in hand. The Christmas gift-giving tradition is thought to remind us of the Magi's offerings to the Christ child and God's gift of Jesus to humankind. Tonight, our decorators will place under the Christmas tree the blankets that you have donated over the last few weeks. After they have finished their task, if you brought a blanket tonight and you'd like to place it under the tree, you are welcome to do so. In the coming weeks, these blankets will be given as gifts to those in our community who are in need of assistance.
Christmas decor would not be complete without the presence of the nativity scene. We remember the first Christmas night as Mary and Joseph took shelter in a stable. Using a manger, or feeding trough, filled with straw for a crib, Mary lay her newborn baby down to sleep. Cattle, donkeys, and other livestock didn't seem to mind the invasion of their home by the weary travelers. As the angels proclaimed the news of the birth to the shepherds out in the field, excitement filled the air. Months later, wise men from the east followed a star to Bethlehem in search of the baby, the king. With them, they brought valuable gifts, which they presented to the child as they worshipped him. By the time the wise men found Jesus, he and his family had probably found more suitable housing than the stable. Nevertheless, we associate the wise men with the first Christmas night and often complete the nativity scene with the Magi and their camels.
Have joy, lift your hands.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Thank you. As we prepare now to come to the close of the service, I would remind you that there are offering baskets at the exits for you to make a contribution to defray the expense of the service. Let us pray now the collect as printed in your bulletin together. Send, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world the light of your Son. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people, and so direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way revealed to us. As the shepherds of Bethlehem walk with joy to the manger where he dwelled, and now and forever reign in our hearts forever. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. refreshments in the fellowship hall for you to enjoy after the service. And now, may the blessings of God Almighty and the Christ Child rest with you and keep you both now and always, and fill you with the peace of this season. In whose name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Babe of Bethlehem. Amen.